You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 28th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it's very hard to find any other news aside from what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. We do have some other news that we will get into, but just some brief thoughts on the current situation. Ursula von der Leyen has said that the EU are going to ban Russia Today and Sputnik from being accessible in the European Union. And this is rather suspicious, isn't it? It's effectively saying you're not going to allow the other side to tell their side of the story. I hope this doesn't affect Britain. There have been calls to remove Russia Today from the television, because of course over here we actually get it on free-to-view TV just through the television aerial, and it does help to get a balanced view of what is going on, because you can see what is being reported on by the BBC, and then you can switch over and see the same situation being reported on by RT, and I do think RT are providing more objective coverage, and they are including what the West are saying and the condemnations of Putin and all the rest of it. And then they're also reporting on the ground there, these areas that Russia are trying to pacify, basically. Well, don't forget, the whole point of this is to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine. So the Russians are trying to take out the military installations, and they're trying to arrest the leaders of the Azov battalion. That's their stated goal. Their stated goal isn't to occupy the place. So they're not going in there with a shock and awe campaign like we saw in Iraq. They're specifically targeting military installations, and they're not trying to cut off the electric and cut off the water like Ukraine did to Crimea and like Ukraine did to the Donbass region. It's quite concerning that NATO are talking about arming Ukraine, and I think this is one of the reasons why Putin put his nuclear resources on standby. And this is very concerning. It happened over the weekend. He said he was getting them ready in case they were required. And I think this was in response to NATO talking about all these weapons that they were going to give to the Ukrainians, anti-aircraft missiles and all the rest of it. And you have to wonder, well, how exactly are they going to get these weapons to the Ukrainians if Russia has taken out the airfields and taken out the military installations? And is that not interfering? Is that not really just going to prolong the situation and mean that more Ukrainians die and more Russians die? And you also have to question Zelensky's wisdom in handing out weapons to anybody that asks for them. I mean, they handed out, I forget how many, 100,000 assault rifles, something like this. And apparently straight after that, they started fighting amongst themselves and looting started taking place. And I read today that they're freeing people out of the prisons now. Anybody with military experience that is in prison is going to receive a pardon and be handed weapons. And I think what the West are trying to do is to make it ungovernable once Russia does manage to take out these military installations. And we're being told over here in the West that the reason for this is because Putin wants to put a puppet in government. Putin has said that he wants there to be elections where everybody can take part, because what we're not being told over here is that if you are a Russian speaker, if you have Russian heritage, then you're not allowed to take part in the elections. And this is the reason why Zelensky won with such a landslide vote last time, is because all the opposition parties were not allowed to even take part. There was also a recent poll that was taken, and 51% of the country wanted to have friendly relations with Russia. And I believe Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson pointed this out in a podcast we did some months back, or maybe it was just weeks back, that it was pretty similar to the numbers in the Brexit vote between those that want to be friendly with Russia and those that don't want to be friendly with Russia. I mean, it's pretty evenly split within the country. So it's all an awful situation that is just being made worse, I think, by the West. We've now got Liz Truss encouraging people to go over there and take up weapons and fight on the side of the Ukrainians, which is, as far as I'm aware, that's a war crime. I mean, if you go over there and start doing that and you're not actually a part of the army, then you're a partisan or you are a terrorist. And I think the army are saying to people, no, don't go over there and do this. And again, it just highlights the lack of experience that Liz Truss has as our foreign secretary. I think Boris Johnson put her in that position so that people would see how inexperienced she was, because she was being presented as if she was going to replace Boris Johnson, that she would make a replacement for him if we were to get rid of our prime minister. And as I say, it seems to be taking up all the news. It's very hard to find other news stories, but I did manage to find one of them concerning black history in Britain. Footballer Troy Deeney, who is of black heritage, has written an open letter to the British government and launched a petition calling for the history and experiences of black, Asian and ethnic minorities to be made mandatory in the national curriculum. He wants to force everybody in the country to learn about the experiences of black, Asian and ethnic minorities. Does not that sound a little bit supremacist, forcing everybody to learn about the experiences of these people? Not everywhere in the country is as diverse as London. There are lots of areas of the country that just have white people there. And why would they want to be learning about the experiences of other people? Shouldn't they really be taught their own history? And of course, this is a situation. If you're black or Asian, you want to learn about black and Asian history. You want to learn about things that are important to you. So when they go into our school system and they're taught about things that are important to white people, it's not that interesting for them, and they cannot empathize with it because it's not talking about them. So they say, well, we want to have histories for us in the education curriculum. But of course, then it means that white people are thinking, well, hang on a minute, this is a bit difficult for me because this isn't my history. In actual fact, some parts of this portray me as being a very bad person and my ancestors as being a very bad person. So really, the fact that he is asking this and the fact that we have people that are calling for this, for black and minority ethnic history to be mandatory in the curriculum, it just shows that multiculturalism doesn't work. It means that people have difficulties with feeling that they're a part of things, feeling that they're a part of society, feeling that the education system is actually there for them. Black people look at it and they think, well, this doesn't really talk about me very much. It's as if this system isn't there for me. And then if you fill it up full of black people, white people are going to be looking at it and saying, well, this seems as if this system isn't here for me. It's all about these other people. So the solution to this is not to force multiculturalism on people and force diversity on people. It's for people like Troy Deeney to be advocating for his people and saying, wouldn't it be better if we were just living together amongst our own people? We could have 100% history about black and Asian and ethnic minorities. We could make it all about us, and we wouldn't have to worry if some of it might be offensive to white people, because there wouldn't be any white people there to get offended. And that to me would seem to be the solution to this. Continuing here with this article, the Birmingham City captain believes the current curriculum is failing children from ethnic minorities and commissioned a YouGov survey which found the majority of British teachers think the school system has a racial bias, and only 12% said that they feel empowered to teach diverse topics. And of course, diverse means black and minority ethnic topics there. I would like to know what the question was that was actually in this YouGov survey. And I think what this really shows is that British school teachers are all extremely left-wing if they think that the school system has a racial bias. If anything, it's now biased against whites. And we see this in the educational expectancy for the white working class, who are now at the lowest of all these groups. Their attainment is actually the lowest. And there is now a push to include diversity in everything, which means that there's a racial bias against white people. I mean, whichever way you look at this, that there is always going to appear to be a bias against one group or another group if you have multiculturalism. It cannot be any other way, because different people groups have different interests, and if you have them together in one territory, there's going to be a conflict of interests there. You're going to have a history story that if you tell it from one point of view, it's going to offend the other group, and if you tell it from the other point of view, it's going to offend again. It's going to offend the original group. So you really just cannot get around this when you have multiculturalism. It just causes a conflict of interest, and it causes friction. The father of four's open letter to Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi. I mean, there you go. How can they say that the education system is racist when the Education Secretary is of non-white heritage? The letter included details of his own struggles in school, where he was expelled at the age of 15 and told by one teacher he would die before his 26th birthday. And we can look at the statistics, black statistics, and we all see that, yes, they do get expelled more than white students do. And the way that gets looked at by black advocates is that must be racism that is causing this. It must be racism why these students are more likely to get expelled from school. But, of course, I would look at that and I would say, well, it's probably more likely due to the lower average IQ. It could be due to them maturing at an earlier age, so they end up getting held back by school. And it could just be due to there being a general difference in character between the races. Exactly the same reasons, in actual fact, for why you're more likely to be expelled from school if you are male than you are if you are female. It's because there is a difference between males and females. And the reason why black people are more likely to be expelled from school is because they are a different people group to whites. The people group that are the least likely to be expelled from school are Asians or Chinese. And all of this, to a nationalist, is entirely predictable, because we study these differences between the groups, and we understand that there are these differences, and we celebrate the fact that there are differences. We don't want to eliminate these differences, which is essentially what multiculturalism seeks to do. It seeks to push everyone together into behaving in one way, one particular way, which is basically becoming a consumer and taking your identity from the products that you consume, the products that you buy, instead of taking your identity from your ethnic heritage and learning what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are from your ethnic heritage and from your history. I mean, we really do celebrate diversity as nationalists. The people that promote diversity and talk about it, in actual fact, they're not promoting it. They are promoting the destruction of it, which is the end result of all the multicultural empires of the past, when you think about it. Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, they all collapsed once they became multicultural and once they all started interbreeding with one another. It's like that old saying about Athens, that the problem with Athens is that they stopped being Athenian, basically. That's why Greece fell apart. That's why their democracy fell apart, is because Athens became full of people that were no longer Athenian. Dini, who has been a professional footballer for the last 15 years, has been encouraged by the Welsh government, which will have a new curriculum framework in place from September, where the stories of Black, Asian and ethnic minority people will be taught. And that's a bit of a strange one, because Wales doesn't really have that much diversity. I mean, it has some counties in it, within it, which are actually have the lowest number of Black and minority ethnic people in the whole of the United Kingdom, along with some places in Scotland. And I think Welsh people hearing this, they would think, well, yes, of course, white students should learn about other peoples and learn about their histories. And I think most of them aren't aware of what this Black history that's being taught is actually about, because it's not talking about the history of people in India and the people in Africa. It's basically claiming that Black history they don't have any history because they were enslaved by white people, and everything that white people have was built on the backs of these poor Black slaves. It's a very biased version of history that is taught to make white people feel, or the effect of it rather, is to make white people feel guilty about who they are and not want to be who they are. And it teaches Black and minority ethnics to have a grudge against white people and to feel as if they have somehow been oppressed by white people, when we haven't oppressed anyone. We've helped the rest of the world out with our civilization and with our technology. And as far as slavery is concerned, we used to enslave white people as well as Black people, and we never actually had that in Britain. It was Britain that did away with slavery, but that doesn't get concentrated on in this history. If it was just talking about the history of people in Asia and the history of people in Africa, then that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that it's a false history that actually ends up giving Black people a grievance against whites, and it ends up making white people hate one another. And the Welsh government, by saying it's going to do this, I think most people, when they hear that, they think it's just going to be talking about the history of Africa and India. They don't understand what is really going on here. I've actually been compiling some notes on Elizabeth I for our Greatest Britain series when we get into that again, when Max comes back. And there's some very interesting parts in that, actually, about a small Black population that were actually in Britain at the time. And it mentions that they were slaves, and it also mentions that they were better off than the white population. And the white population were not happy, because these Black slaves were obviously being cared for, and the white peasant population were not being cared for. I mean, they wanted to become slaves, basically. But we'll get into the details of that when we actually come to studying Elizabeth I. Getting back to this letter here that Dini sent, he says, "I believe the current system is failing children from ethnic minorities. I found I'm not the only one to feel strongly about this subject. Over the past 18 months or so, nearly 400,000 people have signed petitions calling for changes to be made to mandate more diversity onto the national curriculum, and numerous debates have been conducted in Parliament. Yet the teaching of Black, Asian and ethnic minority histories and experiences in schools still remains optional, and your government's stock response has been that the topics are already there and it is down to teachers and schools to teach them." Well, it should be optional, because you may have a class that doesn't have any Black, Asian and ethnic minorities within the class. And surely if they want to study their own history, they should be helped to do that, but it should be optional. It shouldn't be forced upon everybody. We should really be learning about British history within British schools, I think. He says, Mr. Zahawi, I urge you as Secretary of State for Education to review this topic again and make the teaching of Black, Asian and minority ethnic histories and experiences mandatory throughout the school curriculum. So a large part of that is experiences, talking about Black experiences. And what he means by that is teaching that white people have been racist towards Blacks. And again, the problem here is that would never have occurred if it hadn't been for multiculturalism. If we hadn't imported Black people into the country, then they would not have this bad experience in their past. Their experience would have been of living amongst their own people. So there wouldn't have been any chance for them to be treated badly by white people, and I'm sure they were treated badly at some points in the past. But that would not have happened if they had not been living in the same territory. I mean, this is the point of what we're trying to make here at Radio Albion, and as nationalists, it is the multicultural policy that is the source of all this ill feeling amongst the different people groups. In June, a report commissioned by Penguin and the Runnymede Trust found fewer than 1% of candidates for GCSE English Literature answered a question in 2019 on a novel by an author from an ethnic minority background. And again, what they're trying to imply there is there must be racism because there's only 1% that studied ethnic minority author. The fact is, there really aren't that many ethnic minority authors. And the books that they write, there aren't that many of them that are bestsellers and that are really well liked. If you look at history, and if you're doing English literature, you've got thousands of years worth of books written in the English language, and they're all written by white people. If you're looking at books that have been written by Black authors in the white language, I doubt whether you have any that go back more than 100 years old. So you only have a very limited collection of books to actually study from that. And also, I think what this shows is that ethnic minorities may not want to be reading books that are written by other ethnic minorities. Surely you have a choice of what book you want to read and that you want to write essays about. Yeah, I mean, normally you get a choice and you can say, well, I'll pick one of these books and I'll study that and answer the questions on that. So there are always other possible reasons for these things rather than it just being racism, which is what they're trying to imply here. The Education Secretary months later applauded the efforts of teachers who are using more diverse text in classes, but insisted he was against pushing any sort of agenda on children with regards to topics such as Black Lives Matter, which was responsible for a number of solidarity protests in 2020 in the wake of George Floyd's murder in the United States. And again, this is a big problem. I know of people that their children have been taught Black Lives Matter information at schools. They've been taught this from a very biased viewpoint. When you look at what actually went on, and I mean, the protests resulted in riots and billions of dollars worth of damage to cities. They ended up with people being murdered. And then you look at the hypocritical way that the protest that took place at the Capitol building in support of Donald Trump last year, the way that that's been dealt with, and the way that the protest just recently in Canada, how that has been dealt with. I mean, nobody's been held to account for burning cities down in the Black Lives Matter riots, but the children at school aren't being taught that. They're taught that there was this horrific murder of a Black man by a white police officer who was a white supremacist, and then the people rightfully rose up and pointed out that there's this discrepancy in numbers, that a lot of Black people end up dying at the hands of the police. And the children, where they're not critical enough, they see that and they think, oh, look at these terrible white people that are doing this. And the fact of the matter is, the Black people are more likely to resist arrest when the police try to arrest them. And if you are resisting arrest and the police officer has a gun, then there is a much higher chance of you getting shot. And a large part of this, again, is the mainstream media, because the mainstream media makes out that the police are just all looking for black people to kill. So when somebody black does get arrested, they're terrified that the police officer is going to kill them. So they start resisting arrest. So you have a vicious circle there. You have a press which encourages, it effectively encourages black people to resist arrest when they're being arrested. And because they resist arrest, they end up getting shot by the American police officer. But of course, they're not going to teach the children this in the schools. And they really should not be covering information that's been given to them by Black Lives Matter, because they are a left-wing organization, and their solution to the problems of that racism causes are all left-wing solutions. Only last week, Mr. Zahawi was behind guidance published by the government on political impartiality in schools, which added that campaign groups such as Black Lives Matter may cover partisan political views. And they do. I mean, Black Lives Matter itself is a partisan political view. It is implying that that black lives are the ones that should matter more than white. If you're a white person, you should be saying Black Lives Matter and doing what you can to improve black lives, when really everybody should be doing what they can to improve the lives of their own people group. Deeney added, nearly 2 years on from the death of George Floyd and the tidal wave of outrage that followed, an eerie quiet seems to have descended on national cultural debate. I would argue against that, because we have all these football players that are still taking the knee. We still have all these news stories that mention George Floyd. We've even got the case this week of the three other police officers that were involved that have been found guilty of civil rights violations. They may end up going to jail for life, simply for holding the crowds back while the arrest was taking place. Deeney says the issues raised have receded from the news agenda, and if we are to believe the conclusions of the Sewell report, the UK does not have a systemic problem with racism at all. And that was the government's own report, and it found that we don't have institutional racism. There are other reasons for these discrepancies. It's not because people are deliberately discriminating against black people. The 31-year-old struggled with his identity growing up, feeling neither white enough for the white kids or black enough for the black kids, after having a black Jamaican father and a white mother with Irish heritage. And again, we understand this as nationalists. I mean, this is a really bad thing. I mean, what is his ethnic heritage? He doesn't look like his mother and he doesn't look like his father. So that is going to cause an identity crisis in a child. And it's going to cause him to be pulled in two different directions. This is why we would not encourage miscegenation, not because we hate black people, but because we are thinking about the results of that relationship and the results on the offspring of that relationship. And here we have the evidence of it. He struggled with his identity growing up because he didn't feel white enough and he didn't feel black enough either. I mean, this is a problem, a unique problem that only occurs when you have multiculturalism that affects generation after generation. He says, as the proud father of four children, three of which are currently in the education system, this topic has moved front and center in my own life. The importance of education at an early age to inform identity and combat racist beliefs and stereotypes cannot be understated. I have seen more and more how important it is for my children to be able to see themselves represented in what they are being taught and learn about the contribution and background of people who look like them. Very true. It is very important that people see themselves represented. And what they're talking about here is replacing the white people that are seeing themselves represented with black people. And what's that going to cause? That's going to cause the identity crisis to move from not just being in black people, but also being amongst white people, because white people are no longer going to see themselves being represented. White people are already not seeing themselves represented on television, in the adverts. It's now all black and white couples that you see on there. If you look at the adverts, you would believe that Britain was at least 50% black. So the same neuroses that he's talking about here, that black people suffer from, white people are now suffering from this as well, as a result of multiculturalism. The solution to this is for his children to go to an all-black school with a black teacher, so everything that they do is by them and about them, and they see themselves reflected there, and then there wouldn't be this problem. And it's the same with whites. If white people went to an all-white school with all-white teachers and they learned all about what it was like to be a white person, then they wouldn't have this problem and they wouldn't have this neurosis. I mean, he's basically repeating what he's been taught to say by the government. But what is at the root of this is the fact that he wants to be with his own people, and he understands that his children want to be with their own people, and they want to see themselves reflected around them, because that is what is natural. It is unnatural to have multiculturalism. It is unnatural for Dini and his family to be forced to see white people around them all the time, just the same as it is unnatural for white people to be forced to see black people around them all the time. I mean, this news report talks here about this and says, well, yes, well, he's got a point here and the government should be doing this. I don't agree that the government should be doing this, but I do agree with what he is saying about how this causes a problem for him and for his children. But the problem is multiculturalism. It isn't because white people are deliberately trying to give his children neuroses. Earlier this month, Dini commissioned a YouGov survey which found that 54% of 1,107 teachers polled said they believe the national curriculum has a racial basis, and 72% think the government should do more to support the teaching of cultural diversity. I'm not quite sure what they mean by a racial basis, but of course education and the system of education and schooling was instituted by white people. So clearly it's going to have a white basis, isn't it? I mean, that should not be seen as being a strange thing. I'm not aware of any schooling being set up and instituted in Africa before white people went there. And it just is that it's a white tradition. It's a part of white culture that we have education. And the 72% think the government should be doing more to teach cultural diversity. Again, what that tells us is that the teachers are very left wing, and they don't understand what is at the root of this problem here. Among the ethnic minority teachers surveyed, 93% said they think there is a racial bias in the current school system. So they are basically identifying with their people and saying that we are not seeing enough of our people in this system. And the problem is that the white teachers aren't thinking the same, and they're saying, oh yes, well, there's this racial bias and the government needs to do more to teach diversity. So the black teachers are promoting their interests, but the white teachers are not promoting their interests. He says, as the findings show, despite your government's assertions that diverse topics are already in place on the curriculum and sufficient teacher training is provided, clearly that is not enough. And the support and the desire to do more is there. It can be done. We have seen that in Wales, who have recently become the first UK nation to make the teaching of black, Asian and minority ethnic histories and experiences compulsory across the school curriculum. And again, I would suggest that most people in Wales that hear that will think that it means teaching about Indian history or African history. They won't understand that what that means is teaching that black people have been oppressed by white people, and all about the horrible things white people have done to black people in the last 100 years. Or alternatively, trying to pretend that people from North Africa 1,500 years ago and 2,000 years ago were actually black Africans when they weren't. He says, it is for these reasons that I want to reignite this conversation and put it back on the agenda. And again, I'll just highlight what he's doing here is he's advocating for his people. He's doing the right thing. He should be advocating for his people. My issue is that white people do not advocate for their own people, and they support the promotion of diversity in the schools. And I also want to point out that the reasons why he has this issue and why he feels that his children need to be seeing themselves in education is because naturally you want to be amongst your own people. That is the natural and right position, is to be among your own people. And if the government does what he suggests here and put black and minority ethnic throughout the curriculum, then white people are also not going to be seeing themselves represented and are going to end up in the same situation that he is in. Everybody's going to be in that situation then. Wouldn't it be much better to solve the situation and have white people in white schools with white teachers and black children in black schools with black teachers? And then they would see themselves reflected everywhere. Well, we've gone a little bit over time here, but I do want to finish with a good bit of news, and this comes from Texas. Greg Abbott has officially directed Family and Protective Services to begin investigating all trans children in Texas and prosecuting their parents as child abusers. He has also instructed all teachers, doctors, and caregivers to begin reporting any trans students that they see. And this is very good news, because it is child abuse to be giving a child the opposite sex's hormones and setting them onto a pathway that means that they're going to end up mutilating their genitals. It is absolutely horrific. Very good to see that Greg Abbott is trying to do something about this. Let's hope that we see more American governors doing the same. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.